Growing up in a somewhat haunted house, I guess I could attest that it's hard to get a good night's rest when every night you're constantly haunted by shadow people tugging on your blankets, making odd noises in the hallway, or just standing there menacingly at the end of your bed. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. Today we're going to do something I haven't done in quite a while, honestly, maybe a few years. I'm going to be reading some allegedly true and creepy haunted house stories sent in by viewers, just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's from a haunted house or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true haunted house stories. For context, I'm a 5-foot female, and when this happened, I was 17 years old, living with my parents. One night I was feeling bored, so I went on the app Whisper. If you're not familiar, it's an app where you can post anonymously and chat with people sometimes. Sometimes it'll tell you how far the poster is from you, your gender, and age. You can choose if you want to add that information or not, of course. I posted on Whisper saying, "I'm bored. Would anyone like to chat?" I let my phone charge. Then I went outside to smoke a bowl. I was outside in the back for about 20 minutes. I went back inside, all while trying to be very sneaky, trying not to get caught by my parents. Their bedroom inside happens to be in the back of the house while all the other rooms are in the front of the house. I go back inside and notice the spare bedroom door open. Sometimes the dog go in pushing it open. They like to have their own bed. I went in to check for the dogs, but they were not there. I closed the door and went back to my room. I picked up my phone and went to the Whisper app. There was a comment that said, "Come back inside." I went to message them and saw they were less than a mile away. It was a female, and my age. There is no way to verify it, but less than a mile you cannot manipulate your location. I constantly change my username on Whisper, so how did anyone know it was me? How did they know my account posted it? How did they know I went outside? That is when I remember the incident with the spare room door. I locked my bedroom door and texted my parents. I messaged the account asking who it was and never got a reply. Nothing ever happened, though. I am 21 now. I am in the same house and have a boyfriend who is moving in. I saw the garage door keypad light up. This might not sound strange to the average person, but we have never used the keypad for the garage because it has never worked. Everyone in the family knows that it is broken. We noticed the keypad started lighting up 4 or 5 times. My mom asked me if me and my boyfriend had fixed it. And for whatever reason, the garage door kept opening and closing. My mom has a heart condition and cannot take the stress. I told my dad about it, and I wish I could have had an answer to who it was or what is doing this, but I don't think I'll ever know. That's why I wanted to send this into your show, to hopefully find some answers. My memories of the years I lived in a haunted house from the ages of 8 to 18 are a bit crazy. It is a little long, but buckle up if you want to hear an actual account of living in a haunted house, and not the Hollywood version. Me and my parents still talk about this from time to time. I am 30 and engaged now in my own home, and my parents moved out soon after I moved out. I guess I just wanted to get it out there because it's all true, and I've tried to explain it to so many people who just don't believe it. I thought maybe this community would hear me. The lady that sold my parents this house warned us of weird things going on, but my Christian parents ignored it and felt it would be fine. At the time, I think they thought it was all bollocks, to be honest. It was a fixer-upper, but a great house with lots more space than our first. Anyway, as the weeks went, things began to get weird. I quickly learned when playing in the street, this was the 90s, that children in my neighborhood thought my house was haunted. And to be fair, it being old, tall, and a Victorian house, with rickety overgrown Gothic pathways, it was definitely creepy to a kid. There were many horrible stories about things that happened inside. Kids would not come around and play at my house due to this, and I earned a stigma of being the new girl that lives in the haunted house at school. The house was 3 stories high, with banisters running the entire way up. Out of nowhere, things started dropping from the top of the house to the lower landing through this banister gap. Proper poltergeist stuff. Ornaments, vases, dog toys, and these were always things that were never upstairs. Our dogs would not go up to the top of the house by the attic. All they would do is bark and whimper at the landing, and I was also absolutely terrified of the top floor. I was an only child, and I would not go upstairs when home alone because it frightened me so much. All I can describe it as soon as the light was not upstairs, I could feel a presence there with me. An angry, bitter cold feeling, like a shadow behind me, getting bigger and bigger. I'd sprint as fast as I could downstairs, and strangely, even now, more than a decade on, I still have bad dreams about my legs slowing down on the final staircase, like I'm running through water, and something is chasing me. Anyway, the weird stuff continued. I started knocking on a wall one evening, playing as a kid, and to my delight, it would respond to me, knocking back, responding and copying my pattern. My mom started absolutely freaking out when I showed her. She ran outside to demand who was knocking to the kid on the other side. To find out, it was just a brick wall and air. No one was on the other side. On Halloween, we all heard a scream from the attic, only to brave checking it out to finally find it completely vacant. This was weird and unsettling. By this point, my parents were spooked. Being religious, they brought a priest in who informed them the upstairs was extremely negative spiritually, and they should remodel the entirety of it to try and get the spirit out. He told them to gut the attic, bless the area, and ask the spirit to leave. Okie dokie, sounds easy enough. So they began to remodel the attic in a bedroom bathroom style. This spirit did not like this one bit. At one point, my father claims his leg was pulled through the floor, and sure enough, his leg went through the floor into the downstairs bathroom ceiling. Later, when he had a guest in a separate part of the house, suddenly, part of the ceiling fell on his head for absolutely no reason. The builder said it was a complete fluke and did not make sense. On the last night of converting the attic, I had the worst dream of my life, which I will never forget. My bedroom was en suite, so it had 2 doors, and both were very heavy on hinges, like you could not open them without pushing down on the handle, just for reference. This dream, I was watching a man and a woman argue. The woman was wearing a Victorian outfit of some sort. I likened them to Oliver, the musical characters at the time. The man was in a gentleman's suit. They were arguing back and forth, and I could not make out their words clearly, like I was listening underwater. She suddenly looked at me, straight in the eyes, and started screaming and pointing to the floor. Now, trigger warning, because this was terrifying to see as a kid and definitely in a dream. I had never seen anything like this in film or on TV at that age. On the floor was a dead baby, face down. I immediately woke up, hyperventilating in my bed, thinking it was all over, when I looked down on the floor to see the same dead baby. But it was crying and contorting. The woman slammed open my bathroom door, the one on hinges, and ran across my room and out the other door. Both my doors were literally swinging, which was physically impossible without someone standing and doing it. All I could hear were screams and cries. I screamed and woke up again to my mom shouting for me to wake up, saying she could hear a racket of slamming doors upstairs, but when she checked, I was tucked up in bed, just tossing and turning. I told her about my dream, and she told me that I could come sleep with her. Years later, when I was old enough, She admitted to me that when they did some research on the house after the priest visited, they found out that a maid had been pregnant by the housemaster and was forced to kill or abort the baby in the attic. My mom, being spiritual but also Christian, said she had tried to make peace with this spirit after learning this. Nuts, right? This is just a sprinkling of the crazy things that happened over the years in that house. But I bet you're wondering if the conversion and all that worked. Well, interestingly enough, it did for us. We were all able to sleep very happily in the new guest room, and no more poltergeist stuff went on. There was still an eerie energy in the loft, but not really threatening. It has never really felt like our home. But honestly, I'm just happy that it all went away. I think my mom's house is haunted. I wanted to share a story with the swamp, and I think this is a good one. My grandmother died when I was in freshman year of college. I believe it was the year of 1986. I'd experienced some strange occurrences years earlier in her house after my grandfather had died. Anyway, let me explain what happened to me when I used to stay at my grandmother's house. We did not want Grandma to be alone, so I would always offer to stay with her to keep her company, so she would not be lonely. I was around 9 or 10 years old at the time. I would stay in Grandpa's old bedroom. I guess back in the day, married couples would often have separate bedrooms. My grandfather would always smoke a pipe, and my grandmother did not smoke. So one night, when I was getting ready for bed, I smelled what I thought was pipe smoke, even though I knew no one was smoking in the house. At first, I thought it was my imagination. I felt my grandfather's presence in the room, but I was not scared. Just a little freaked out, I guess. When I did not smell the pipe smoke anymore, I knew that he had probably left. I believe he was just looking in on my grandmother. Now, getting to after my grandmother died, we moved into my grandmother's house in the summer of 1986. Everything went fine, and we settled into the house. Let me explain the layout of the house. My parents and younger sister lived on the second floor of the house. On the first floor of the house, I had a large bedroom in the front of the house. The rest of the floor was another apartment, which at the time was rented to an elderly lady. I first noticed the presence of a spirit, or whatever it was, shortly after we moved in. I used to go into the basement frequently, and I could always sense a presence there. It was stronger near the old coal bin in the corner of the basement. It wasn't until years later that my friend told me about an experience he and his girlfriend had there. You see, my mom had a stroke and I took care of her for about 3 years, but then she needed to go into a nursing home, and I couldn't afford to keep the house, so I had to leave. My friend and his girlfriend did me a favor and were going to get some of my things for me. It was sometime in the night, and even though I had the keys to the house, we were not really supposed to be in there because technically, the house was condemned, being there was no electricity, etc. Anyway, they went into the house up to the second floor, and while they were going into the kitchen, a chair slid and blocked the entrance to the kitchen. Then, he went to the basement to go get something, and he said he felt like someone had pushed him, and his girlfriend saw red glowing eyes near the rear of the basement. They hightailed it out of there as fast as they could, and when he got back to me, he was white as a sheet. He explained to me everything that had happened, and all I could think of is whatever spirit is in there did not like having strangers in the house. Later, he discovered a red welt in the shape of a hand on his back. About 10 years ago, I moved into a new home in Schererville, Indiana, with 3 other roommates. I will not go into too much detail about where the home is located out of respect for my former roommates, one of which still lives in the home. I will say that is an incredibly old part of town, a few blocks away from one of the very first main roads to be used in the town, settled all the way back in 1846, I think. Anyway, this house was not what comes to mind when you picture a haunted house. It was built sometime in the late 80s, early 90s. It was pretty ordinary looking. 3 bedrooms with a small loft area, tiny bathrooms, and not a whole lot of room for 4 adults to spread out. But when you are a college student in your early 20s and have the opportunity to split rent four ways, this seemed perfect. We all had our own tiny spaces, shared a kitchen and living room, and spent most of our time messing around the dining table. The house was owned by an older couple who lived in a city about 20 minutes away. They began renting the room out to help finance their retirement. They were sweet and relaxed on any rules for the home. They told us right off the bat that they were not physically fit enough to do any maintenance or repairs on the house should anything go wrong, so we were told to call them with any issues that they would send over a handyman or whatever. Honestly, the owners never came to the house. Not once. We paid rent by money order through the mail. I did not find this too weird, honestly. The first strange event occurred about a week after we all moved in. We all worked the night shift at our respective jobs, so the house was empty all night, and we all arrived home around the same time early in the morning. We dragged ass into the living room to enjoy some sort of fast food breakfast before passing out when we realized that the entire carpet downstairs was soaked. A pipe had burst sometime that night underneath our dishwasher. It flooded the kitchen, dining room, and living room. Our landlords had the floor replaced within a week, and we went on with our lives. Then about a week later, we were baking cookies in the oven when suddenly the cookies burst in the flames. The oven was producing so much heat that I was afraid the whole thing would catch on fire. The landlord sent a repairman over who told us that something caused the internal thermometer in the oven to be so uncalibrated that you could set the oven temperature to 300 degrees and it would be more like 475 inside. We had it fixed and moved on. It wasn't long after that when the unexplainable and unnerving activity began. The ceiling fans in the rooms would turn on randomly, and they would spin so hard they would rattle and shake to a point where you think they would fly off the ceiling. Every room was equipped with a button and a switch. There were four buttons on the wall, one for the light and the other three for the various speeds for the fan. The fan would make a two-tone chiming noise when you would push the button to turn it on, and no one would be able to turn a fan on without pretty much everyone in the house hearing this chime. We were creeped out, but chalked it up to faulty wiring or a power surge. The chime still haunts my dreams. Then came the TV issue. We all pulled together to buy a large flat-screen TV for our living room. Brand new, name brand, extra warranty, the TV would turn on by itself constantly. We returned it to the store, exchanged it for a new one, and thought it would be fine. We would be outside or in a different room and hear the chime go off, the fan turn off, and realize the TV had just turned itself on as well. This happened 5 to 6 times a day. It was unable to be ignored. Two separate things in two different rooms turning on almost simultaneously. The electrician was called. He found no signs of faulty wiring, and I think he thought we were making it up. After months of this, we began hearing the whistle. Three notes whistle by an unseen force, always during the day. This usually would happen when you were in a room by yourself. I would get the sick, anxious feeling like I was being watched, and right then, the whistle would happen. Someone or something wanted our attention and they got it. Three of us were totally convinced our house was haunted. Our other roommate was a skeptic and pretty much had to make this living situation work, or he would be sleeping in his car. After about a year and a half of living in this house, dealing with constant phenomena, it ramped up again. We would be in the kitchen making dinner. We would be eating in the living room and come back to find every cabinet door open. Sometimes even the refrigerator and oven doors would be open too. This happened probably 3 or 4 times a week on top of the other stuff. I was over it, but I had no idea how to fix it. I went to the Borders bookstore, which is now closed, RIP, and got a few books about ghosts and hauntings and different information about getting rid of the creepies in one's home. I decided to give smudging a try, and it could not have been a sorrier, dumb decision. We planned to all do the sage smudging together, and our Catholic roommate also had a priest come in and do a blessing. Holy oil and water sprinkled in each room, the smell of white sage burning, we thought it was over. The next morning was New Year's Eve. I was walking downstairs like I had a million times before when my feet completely flew out from under me. I was suddenly airborne. I remember thinking, this isn't possible, right before I smashed into the stairs. I landed on my back right on the edge of the stairs. Picture Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown. This is exactly pretty much what happened to me. I landed not on my butt or my side, but barely on my thoracic spine, which is the upper area of the spine. How the hell did I defy gravity? I had now tripped. I was barefoot, on carpeted stairs, sober and holding the railing. I did not feel a push. I felt a sweeping force take my legs out from under me. I broke 4 vertebrae in my back, about parallel with my shoulder blades. I have injections and nerve damage and back braces, a chronic pain that is not normal for someone in their 20s. I began to look for a new place to live immediately. I found out I was pregnant with my son about 2 months later, and decided the risk was much too great to live in that house pregnant. So I picked up that night, told my roommates I would continue to pay my portion of rent until our lease was up, and moved back in with my parents. I was only staying with my parents for about a month before finding a new place for my baby, my now husband, and I. But I lived constantly on the edge of thinking, what if it followed me? I don't think it did, though. What did follow me is the nightmares that I relive every single day of my life. And I swear, every so often, I can still hear that whistle. I have always doubted the existence of the paranormal or supernatural beings unless I was able to see or hear them with my own 2 eyes and ears. So, for 95% of my life, I have had no paranormal encounters. Even after going to supposed haunted buildings, ghost towns, cemeteries, and other places. So, I have been disappointed to say the least. My house is brand new, and not one that I would believe to be built on any ancient burial grounds due to my research. I've lived here for about a year now, and I have loved my new home. One evening, my sister and 2.5-year-old niece decided to spend the weekend with me. This is always a wonderful time for me to see my 2 favorite ladies. We made dinner, watched movies, played games, and laughed a lot. As we were getting ready for bed in our giant living room, my niece started to cry, stating that she was scared. This is easy to understand. At her age, she still is learning to form words. My sister was holding her, doing her best to comfort my niece, and I got up to walk around to prove that there was nothing to fear. My house is a small 2-bedroom, 1-bath house, and only has a single hallway going through the length. So, there is nowhere that anyone can really hide. My kitchen and living room are combined into one larger room. I walked around my house, which took less than a minute, and kept reassuring my niece there was nothing. She kept sobbing, stating that she was scared of a monster. I put on her favorite show, which was called Blippi, and she slowly drifted off to sleep. My sister then told me my niece would often complain of a monster in the corners at home as well. Despite her favorite toy being a hideous monster that I got her from Walmart months earlier, my niece picked it out. But back to my house. I woke up to check on my sister and niece. I am a super light sleeper when they are here. For some reason, I just need to know that they're breathing for my own comfort. As I woke, I saw a white fluffy pie of legs. I have no other way of explaining it. These legs ran down my hallway toward the blanket fort we made, and my niece woke up and started to immediately cry and waking my sister up as well. My instincts had me jump up from my bed, turn on the lights, but I saw nothing. It took a while to comfort my niece and get her back to sleep, as it was around 3 a.m. I stayed awake looking around the pitch dark house and listening for anything at all. Fast forward a few weeks, as I slept in my bed, I heard a hanger in my closet shift. I live alone and I have no empty hangers, as I take the hangers out when I remove a clothing item from them. The hangers go in a bin in my laundry room. I turn to look at my closet and see the same white furry legs run across my room and out the door. I jumped up again and followed. I heard a mischievous giggle from my room. I turned to quickly look and heard loud running steps behind me down the hall. Nothing was there. I did not feel a breeze of motion or anything. I crawled back into bed and kept watch and listened for any other sounds. I drifted off to sleep and woke again to what felt like a person laying behind me. I could hear soft breathing. I slept with an axe by my bed and I thought I should grab it and swing it at this intruder. However, what I did surprised even myself. I turned over to face them and I shouted, "Vade!" As I said that, I could feel the pressure lift off my bed. I don't know why, but my 4 years of learning Latin just surfaced in my mind despite never needing to speak it. Now, my home is no stranger to odd sounds, grunts, laughter, footsteps, and objects changing places. The occasional shadow appears, and I have never seen that white furry set of legs again. I have been recently thinking and researching ways to amplify the activity. I have so many questions, and I need answers. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true haunted house stories. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it in the algorithm. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and be sure to turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day. And all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a haunted house story or something completely different, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that genuinely keep this show going on a daily basis. If you're on the go and don't have YouTube Premium and want to bring your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories with you everywhere you go, be sure to download them on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. The best part about it is it's absolutely free. If you want to support the Swamp outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out our merch store. I've got t-shirts, face masks, hoodies, mugs, and much more. I have an exclusive Halloween design that's about to go out of sale forever, so be sure to pick one up before Halloween ends. I just wanted to take a quick moment to thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. Recently, I have partnered up with a new advertising representative team. They're going to help the show get a few more sponsors here and there, so the show can bring in a little more income and put out better, high-quality stuff for you guys. So hopefully that won't annoy you too much. I'm not going to do it too much, so don't worry, it's not going to be an every-episode thing. I just wanted to let you guys know that the Swamp is partnering up with some people to help the Swamp be able to do some bigger and better things for you. In the works right now, I have been filming, over the past couple of weeks, a really awesome documentary. So I hope you guys are going to enjoy that. It's based around some very interesting Florida-based cryptids that I don't think you guys may have ever heard of before, unless you're from the area just like I am. Anyways, thank you guys so much for always supporting these videos. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.